Hello, and welcome to the Career Management Education Series, which includes podcasts, webinars, white papers, and whiteboard videos. Please check back for future releases on a variety of topics within our competency development program. I am Dr. Jeffrey Weaver with Advancia Technologies, and I'm joined by Ms. Ann Lair, Senior Vice President with the Center for Human Capital Innovation, and we will be your host. Today's podcast topic is stress and well-being. Hi, Ann. Welcome back to the studio.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me back.
And as you know, these podcasts will allow us to share information and best practices, outline skills, reiterate information from other sources, such as previous podcasts, as well as describing ways for employees and managers to gain better working relationships, including growing in proficiency in a variety of skills and competencies. The purpose of this particular podcast series is to provide insights to help employees become more engaged and help managers, supervisors, and leaders alike create an optimum environment for effective employee engagement and improved retention. These podcasts will provide tips, techniques, and a solid understanding of material and topics for a self-paced employee development approach. To make sure that we're clear as to why we're all here, I wanted to take a moment and share the objectives of this podcast. And they are: 1, identify best practices for minimizing stress; 2, understanding standards for effective stress management and well-being practices; and 3, develop skills for effective stress management and well-being practices. So let's get started. Again, Ann, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have a deep interest in stress and well-being, and you have researched hours and hours and hours for this topic. So again, thank you for your insights and your expert opinion. So can you tell us, what is stress management?
So stress management is exactly as it sounds. It's the management of stress that we all feel on a daily basis. Some of us feel stress for different reasons at different times in different situations. And what we want to do as colleagues, people in communities, and our families, supervisors, is to understand, how do I manage the stress that I feel so it doesn't impact those around me negatively?
Thank you. And why do you believe that knowing this information is important?
It gets back to relationships, Jeffrey. If I am stressed out, if I am feeling pressure, and I inadvertently do something that I regret, and I speak out to you, or I say something I don't mean, or I'm harsh with you, that hinders our relationship in the future. And the more that someone does that, the more that we start to build distrust, that we start to lose credibility, and people don't want to work with us. So it's A, for our own health, that we learn how to manage it, and we don't literally have a heart attack. But more importantly, it is also for our future in terms of relationships and our communities at work and at home.
That's very keen to know, because when we are working with our professional relationships, we spend so much time with each other. We've got to understand how that works and how it impacts us. And all of the things that you say that stress has an impact on, it also impacts the bottom line of an organization. There are associated costs with being stressed at the workplace. Do you have any idea what a few topics would be?
So I can tell you about the workplace in general. So we know that stress can increase absenteeism, mm-hmm. can reduce employee engagement, which just means someone who's willing to make a positive contribution at work. Mm-hmm. It decreases productivity. So as we start to think about not just the relationship side, but actually, is someone at work doing what they're supposed to do and getting the results done? Stress actually reduces that.
Okay. And there was also a study that I found recently that was done in 2017 by the American Psychological Association. And they say that in the United States, there is $300 billion that are affecting government bottom lines by having employees that are stressed at work.
Wow.
So is there a definition that you would say, not along the lines of stress, but what is well-being then?
So just like stress, and it affects people differently and for different reasons, well-being is different for everybody. And so we need to know what our own well-being is, in the sense of, do I feel well? Do I feel well in purpose, physically, mentally, emotionally, with those that I am around? So for some people, the well-being might be more sleep or less sleep. It might be different types of nutrition. It might be different ways of how I communicate. So there's not one definition. However, what we are looking for is, do you as an individual feel like you are productive, feel like you are moving toward your goals in a healthy way in all areas of your life?
Okay, I can totally understand that. So how would you manage stress versus well-being so that you can come up with that balance, so to speak.
So one of my favorite models to do this is something called the corporate athlete. And the corporate athlete talks about looking at our work, and it doesn't have to just be a corporation. It can also be federal government and nonprofits, and understand what can we take away from those top athletes and apply it to work. So there are a lot of studies that were done on top athletes, Olympians, and said, how do they maintain this level of health and well-being, and what can we then use and apply immediately? So the answer is there's four pillars. The first pillar is physical. The second pillar is mental. The third is emotional, and the fourth is spiritual. And what they found is that those athletes who were the healthiest and the most successful had some part of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual pillars in their daily or at least weekly life, and that contributed to their well-being.
Great minds think alike, because that was going to be my next question. In the research that I've done, I understand that there are four particular pillars. And as you mentioned, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. But we don't have time to talk about all of those right now. So can you talk about one or two with us?
Absolutely. So let's talk about the first one, which I think is foundational, is physical. And physical covers a lot. So physical is, are you physically healthy? Do you have enough energy to do what you need to do every single day? And sometimes the answer is no, right? Sometimes you're ill, you have a cold, you're not. But in general, are you physically able to do what you need to do every day? And so when we think about that, there's a couple things to consider. The first is water, water consumption. How much water are you drinking every day? We want our cells to be more like grapes than like raisins. And the first tip I want to share is generally we need to drink a gallon of water a day, or herbal tea or something like that, to make sure that we are hydrated. There's a lot of dehydration going on all around and we're not even aware of it. That dehydration causes a sense of fatigue and a sense of exhaustion, which is not necessarily needed if we were to drink enough water. So that's probably tip number one. Tip number two, under the physical part, is really looking at the food that we are consuming and how we're consuming it. So tend to make sure that we have a balance of protein and vegetables. There's lots of different ways to think about how to combine it. I personally do the 5 small meals a day. And so basically every 3 hours, I'm eating a small meal that has some kind of vegetable or fruit with a protein. Everybody can do it their own. But the point is, for whatever you are doing, if you're a high functioning athlete, if you're not, are you getting the nutrition you need to keep the energy levels up? And then probably the third thing that we want to think about in the physical part is sleep. Are you getting enough sleep? And again, it varies per person, but generally 7 to 8 hours is what we need. And people think, oh, but Ann, I don't need it. I can pull an all-nighter. I understand you can physically. However, we want to look at the impact that sleep has on your brain. Because if our brain doesn't get enough sleep, it doesn't have time to process the information from the day and to regenerate for the next day. So there's lots more we could talk about, but those are three things to really think about for the physical. How much water are you consuming? Are you giving your body the nutrients you need based on your age and your level of activity? And then finally, do you have a sleep routine that gives you the sleep that your body needs as well as your brain needs?
Thank you. For the water consumption, do you say cold water, room temperature water, warm water? I know some people have a preference. For me, I like room temperature and warm water because living abroad, it gave me an opportunity to see into the culture of another people. And what I was able to do is learn from them how to drink hot water. It keeps me warm, but also gives me the hydration that I need. How about you?
So I'm with you on that one, Jeffrey. I personally prefer warm water in terms of just, it has some, usually I do tea, licorice tea is my favorite. But just as a way to kind of make sure that I'm getting enough, I can't just drink cold water all the time. So I try to mix it up.
Agreed. Thank you. So how about mental? What are some tips in regards to the mental pillar?
So mental, what we're looking at here is the second pillar of the four pillars of the corporate athlete is, are you able to focus? Are you able to get something done? Or are you squirrel, 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 and you're always distracted and you can't focus? Technology is a wonderful thing, and technology can also be distracting. And so the question here is, are you able to sit down and accomplish what you need to do? Now, to do that for 8 hours a day at work is practically impossible, right? We can't solely focus for 8 hours a day. However, can you do it for 30 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes at a time and get what you need to do? And if you have a hard time with this, some tips I want to share are, first of all, turn off all your notifications. We do not need to know when a text has come in or when an email has come in or anything like that. So turn off the notifications. That makes it easy. Make sure you turn off the sounds as well, because those sounds actually make it harder for our brain to come back to whatever you're focusing on. The other thing I want to share, something that's called a power hour, and it doesn't have to be an hour. However, what it is, it's a dedicated amount of time where you are not distracted. You know exactly what you're working on. Generally, a power hour is done in the morning so that you feel like you can handle it and the rest of the day. Also, crises tend to come up later in the day, or fires need to get put out later in the day. And so if you get that big stuff done, those big rocks done, you can handle the stuff that comes up later in the day.
Based on your experience and expertise in coaching and mentoring, is there one particular pillar that you see that every employee should be able to pay attention to more than the others?
Remember, there's four pillars. We only had a chance to talk about two, which was the physical and the mental. The other two are emotional and spiritual. So emotional is really understanding your own emotions and being able to manage them. So similar to what we call emotional intelligence, was that ability to self-manage your emotions. So that would be the third one. And then the fourth one is spiritual. It does not really talk about religion. It's about your core values and who you are as a person and being in integrity with those values. So your question is, which one is the most important? I personally think physical is, because if I'm not getting enough sleep, if I'm not getting the nutrition, I can't focus on my emotions. I can't focus on my mental well-being, and I certainly can't think about my values. So for me, when I really start to feel the stress, I hunker down on the water, nutrition, sleep, and movement, getting exercise, so that I can build that foundation for the other ones.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to close this with our final question, as we always do. What's in it for me? The WIFM. So why do I, as an individual employee, need to, one, be understanding of what stress is in my life and how to balance the well-being?
What's in it for you is just you, your own health, that you can manage it, that you don't get sick, that we don't have what we call adrenal fatigue syndrome, where you're always tired, and that you are at your best for your loved ones, and that you can fully focus wherever you need to focus, whether it's at work, in your community, or at home. The benefit to you at work is really thinking about the relationships. Mm-hmm. How am I working with my relationships? Do I have the energy to focus, or am I hangry, which means I'm hungry and angry, or because I haven't had enough to eat, or I'm exhausted because I'm not getting enough sleep? So think of it as filling up your gas tank first so that you're able to be there for your loved ones, and then think about the relationships you're building because you are in a healthy place.
Thank you. I appreciate all of your tips that you provided. Thank you so much again, Anne, for your particular participation in this podcast and bringing us your expertise.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for taking time out of your schedule to listen to our podcast. Please remember to check back for additional podcasts, as well as webinars, white papers, whiteboard videos from the Career Management Education series. And this concludes our podcast for stress and well-being. We'd love to hear your comments as usual. Any feedback, questions that you might have on this podcast, or ideas for future podcasts, are greatly welcomed. And please submit those to Ms. Anne Lair. Email directly to her at annelair@centerforhci.org. And I spell that annelair@centerforhci.org. And we look forward to hearing from you with your questions, comments, or any feedback.